Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, titled Vidura Approaches Maitreya, Text Number 4. Aham Chokto Bhagavata,
Aham Chokto Bhagavata,
Prapannarthi Harenaha,
Prapannarthi Harenaha,
Badarim Tom Prayahiti. Svakulam samjihirshuna.
Svakulam samjihirshuna.
Word to word translation. Aham.
Aham.
I.
Aham.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Uktaha.
Uktaha.
Was told. Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
By the Supreme Lord.
By the Supreme Lord.
Prapanna.
Prapanna.
Of the surrendered.
Of the surrendered.
Arti Harena.
By
he who is the vanquisher of the distresses. Ha, indeed. Badarim. To Badari. Tvam. You. Prayahi. Should go. Iti. Thus. Sokulam. His own family. Sanjihirshuna. Who desired to destroy. Translation. The Lord is the vanquisher of the distresses of one who is surrendered unto him. Thus, he who desired to destroy his family told me previously to go to Bhadrikashrama. So here is the purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. It's a short purport, only a few lines. While at Dwaraka, Uddhava was warned to avoid the distresses which were to follow the disappearance of the Lord and the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. He was advised to proceed to Bhadrikashram because there he could associate with the devotees of Naranarayan. And in their association of devotional service, he could increase his eagerness for chanting, hearing, knowledge, and detachment. Om Atana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी कृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhuteir Mahadbhirya Ima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yatamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunansho, Dashashoda Shatmaka, Solan Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. Hare Krishna. So we are in the beginning of the fourth chapter. Again, it's the beginning of third canto. Here, there is this wonderful conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, which is discussed further in this chapter. Here, however, Uddhava is speaking to Vidura, explaining his situation. Because Uddhava could understand the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he wanted to take the final darshan of the Supreme Lord. And as it will be discussed very elaborately in the 11th canto, the final meeting of Uddhava with the Supreme Lord, their exchanges, the instructions, and the departure of Uddhava. So, after leaving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Uddhava meets with Maitreya Vidura, and there the whole discussion takes place. Now, it is very interesting to see the departure of the Supreme Lord, because the whole pastime is orchestrated by the Lord himself, by his own internal potency. As much as his appearance is governed by the yoga maya, by the internal potency of the Lord, so much so the disappearance of the Supreme Lord. So everything is orchestrated by his own energy. So there is nothing whimsical or nothing which is inauspicious in the disappearance of the Lord. So it is mentioned in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the demigods headed by Brahma approached Dwaraka and they met with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and informed the Lord that now the purpose of your appearance has been fulfilled. Now you are free to go back to your own abode. So this is, in one sense, it is sad to hear for the devotees. But Lord Brahma acted as an instrument in that sense for the departure of the Supreme Lord, because he came along with all the demigods and requested the Lord that, okay, you have done your job. Because as we know from Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord comes to annihilate the miscreants, to protect the devotees, and to re-establish the religious principles. So he appeared, he did this job, and now all the demigods are saying, headed by Brahma, are saying, okay, now you can go to your own abode. So here, we can see that all these personalities are acting as instruments in the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And Lord Brahma has a special role in the appearance of the Supreme Lord as well as in the disappearance. As Kunti Devi prays in her prayer that Tum Jatoyam Atma Bhuvartitaha. She tells, because Kunti Devi is right in front of Krishna, because Krishna was about to depart from the kingdom, so the Pandavas were very much worried, same as Kunti Devi. So Kunti Devi prayed to the Supreme Lord. So in that, there is a discussion about the cause of appearance of the Supreme Lord. So Kunti Devi gives many reasons, and one reason she cites is Jatoyam Atma Bhuva Artitaha. You have appeared because you have been requested by Atma Bhu, who is Brahma. Because this is the system of maintaining cosmic law and order. That if there is any cosmic problems, then definitely the demigods are affected. And if the demigods are affected, they go to the primary shelter, who is Brahma. Brahma is the leader of all the demigods. And Lord Brahma, along with the demigods, they go to the shore of Milk Ocean, and there Lord Brahma meditate upon the Supreme Lord. And in that way he communicate to Vishnu. And he did so because the earth was burdened by so many demons and so many sinful people. So even Bhumi Devi was present in the people who were complaining about this burden. So all the demigods, Bhumi Devi, and all of them approached Brahma, and all of them went to the shore, and Brahma prayed upon the Supreme Lord, and then the Lord revealed that, okay, soon I am going to appear. And that's how Krishna appeared. So that is one aspect of appearance of the Lord, one reason for appearance of the Lord, as Kunti Devi tells. Similarly, even when the Lord is about to depart, Of course, the Lord is departing according to his own sweet will. Still, Brahma is playing his role. He is going to the Lord along with all the demigods and telling, okay, now you have accomplished your task, now you can go. So here we can see the role of Brahma. Similarly, we can see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes also that there is a reason, there is a personality who was directly involved in bringing Lord Chaitanya to this world and also taking him back to the abode of the Lord. And who is that? Advaita Acharya. Because Advaita Acharya, he was praying to the Supreme Lord for his appearance just by offering Tulsi and Ganges water. Because he had read in the scriptures that just by offering Tulsi and Ganges water to the Supreme Lord, one can purchase the Supreme Lord. So when Advaita Acharya read this verse from Shastra, he became ecstatic and he understood the pathetic situation of the world, which was filled with materialistic people. So he wanted the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So he did the same thing. He took his Saligram Shila and he offered Ganges water and Tulsi leaves and started praying and crying for the appearance of the Supreme Lord. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the cry of Advaita Acharya was even audible in the spiritual world. It actually cut across the material coverings. Because we should understand Advaita Acharya is none other than Mahavishnu. So, you know, he has such intensity in his request for the appearance of the Lord. So the Lord appeared. And when we consider the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, again, Advaita Acharya played his role. Because Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, in the association of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So one day, they got a letter from Lord Chaitanya. And in that letter, it was mentioned that a madman is writing this letter to another madman who is in transcendental ecstasy. And now I have to say that there is no more demand for rice in the market. So the letter was rather very cryptic. No one could understand that now there is no demand for rice in the market. So after reading this letter, Swarup Damodar Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya, what is this? What's the meaning behind this letter? So Lord Chaitanya said, who can understand the mind of a madman like Advaita Acharya? Even I can't understand the heart of Lord Advaita Acharya. So Swarup Damodar Goswami said, but kindly explain what is the meaning behind this. Then Lord Chaitanya explained. Advaita Acharya, he's an expert in Shastras. And he's an expert in worshipping the deities. So he's very expert in bringing the deity in front of him. And he's very expert in offering different paraphernalia unto the deity. And after the worship is finished, he usually sent the deity back. So this is what the reply of Lord Chaitanya. Hearing this, Swarup Damodar Goswami became very morose because he could understand that this is the time the Lord is going to depart from this material abode. So this is, you know, Advaita Acharya playing his role in the departure of Lord Chaitanya. Similarly, we had to understand that in the disappearance pastime of the Supreme Lord, also there are many personalities involved. And everything is orchestrated by the sweet will of the Supreme Lord. So we can see Uddhava was involved. And later we will see that even Dwarika was involved, who got the final audience of the Supreme Lord. And even before, even Maitreya got the audience of Krishna. So all these personalities were involved in the disappearance pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Now, the text here says that the Lord is the vanquisher of the distresses of one who is surrendered unto him. So, it is a very important point. Because even considering Uddhava, when he understood that the Lord is going to disappear from this world, he straightaway went and approached Krishna. How Uddhava could understand that the Lord is going to depart? because he started seeing bad omens in Dwaraka. Because Dwaraka is the eternal spiritual world, and there is no possibility at all to see any bad omens. But Uddhava could see some bad omens. So when he saw that, he could understand that something wrong is going to happen. Again, this is a pastime of the Lord. We cannot use material logic understanding bad omens in the spiritual world. But so we had to understand it as pastime of the Lord. So Uddhava approached Krishna and he requested Krishna that I can't bear separation from you. So I want to go to the spiritual abode even before you. So otherwise you take me along with you. When you go, take me along with you. You know, if there are two loved ones, then they cannot be separated. So if someone friend is going, you say, you know, let's go together. So in the same way, Uddhava is a dear friend of Krishna. He's telling, when you go, take me along. So it's not just going from here to, you know, Vrindavan station or, you know, flying to India. But he's going to the spiritual abode. So Uddhava is telling you, take me along. But Krishna was very cutting. So Krishna is not just a friend. He's a supreme Lord. And he's the spiritual master of all the living entities. So he was very cutting. He said, it is not possible. I have a task for you. It's like when we approach our spiritual master and we request something. It's not that they are going to accept everything as we say. They see what is good for us and accordingly they instruct. So Guru or the spiritual master is not a rubber stamp. Srila Prabhupada writes, he says, many people want a spiritual master because they want a rubber stamp. They want to approve, okay, I have a guru and whatever I am doing is approved by my spiritual master. No, spiritual master has all the freedom to cut our arguments. He can say whatever is good for us. So it may not be pleasing to us. So in the same way, in front of Uddhava, Krishna said, I have a task for you. You are not coming with me, I have a task for you. So you go to Badrikashram and you associate with the devotees there. And also you pass my instructions unto them. So why this instruction was given, Krishna, that point comes along in the same chapter. Krishna tells that you are the most trustworthy devotee to carry my instructions and take it to Badrikashram and to share among the devotees of Naranarayan. Because those devotees in Badrikashram, they didn't get the good fortune to associate directly with Krishna. They were practically stuck there in Badrikashram. So they were, okay, Naranarayan are there, the Supreme Lord is there, they were worshipping and they were doing devotional service, but they couldn't get the personal audience of Krishna. And Krishna couldn't go and he couldn't meet his devotees there. So he's sending his messenger as Uddhava. So that was the task given to Uddhava. So Uddhava couldn't do anything. He accepted. And he circumambulated around the Supreme Lord. And he started crying. And it is mentioned that he practically washed the feet of Krishna with his tears. And he took Krishna's shoes and placed on his head. And finally, he had to leave. And in between, Krishna gave the whole instruction. That is called Uddhava Gita. There are many chapters in the 11th canto where Krishna explains primarily bhakti, but along with karma, jnana, ashtanga, everything, to Uddhava. And that's Uddhava Gita, instructions of Krishna unto Uddhava. I think it is even bigger than Bhagavad Gita in terms of number of verses. So it is lot of instructions, of direct instructions of Krishna unto Uddhava. And Uddhava carries these instructions to Badrikashram, to the devotees who are residing and performing devotion service. Now, the statement here is, the Lord is the vanquisher of distresses of one who is surrendered unto him. So why this statement is given in this regard? So it is mentioned that one reason for speaking this is that the Lord wanted to remove all the distress of Uddhava. So Uddhava was crying and Uddhava was going to feel separation. So to remove the distress of Uddhava, Krishna spoke Uddhava Gita. So this is a very important point. So Uddhava is going to feel separation from the Lord because he is going to depart from the association of the Lord. But to alleviate that suffering, that distress, Krishna gave his instruction in the form of Uddhava Gita. This point is very significant. Because if we are with our spiritual master, if we get instructions from our spiritual master, then those instructions are very, very important. And we need to carry that instructions. We need to execute that instructions. So actually, the wealth of a disciple, and even it is mentioned that the pride of a disciple is the instruction given by the spiritual master. We can see that even in Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada repeatedly says that my spiritual master ordered me to preach in the West, preach in English language. So that is the wealth. The instruction is the wealth. The same point we can see in case of Arjun also, because Krishna spoke whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjun, and as we can read in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Arjuna was also in complete distress. This is Bhagavad Gita finished, then they won the kingdom, but the battle was over. But we know that when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling, Arjun was in distress because Krishna departed from this world. And he was even defeated by a few cowherd men. He couldn't even lift Gandiva. So this was the plight of Arjun. So the only solace for Arjun was the instructions which were given in Bhagavad Gita. So in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, it is mentioned, just by remembering the instructions given by Krishna to Arjun, he became, you know, he actually got over that distress and he became satisfied and he continued his devotional service. Then we see that the chapter, Pandavas retired timely. See, so they retired from the administrative kingly job and they went to the forest. And finally, they also went back to Godhead. So this is the position of a devotee. It is the position of a disciple that we need to carry the instruction of the spiritual master. So carrying the instructions means it is remembering as well as executing the instructions. So when we have that, that is our strength, that is our wealth. So for that sake, Krishna imparted Uddhava Gita to Uddhava. So that is one reason it is mentioned that Lord is the vanquisher of the distresses of one who is surrendered unto him. And who is the surrendered soul? Here is Uddhava. Now, if you consider this point, how about us? Because Uddhava is a completely surrendered soul and he is the associate of the Lord. But how about us? Are we completely surrendered souls? I don't think so. At least for me, I can say. We are not completely surrendered. Maybe there is a little bit of surrender would be there. So how about our distresses? And material world means there will be worries. You know. So how about us? So this question can come. So the principle that works here is E yathamam prabhatyante tam stateva bhajamiham. So as you surrender, I reciprocate accordingly. So this principle is valid in all stages of devotion service. It is applicable for a neophyte to a prema bhakta, even though completely surrendered, but according to the surrender, the Lord reciprocates. So we can see even a neophyte devotee, you know, we may be neophyte, but if we sincerely try to serve the Lord, then the Lord reciprocates. People think that only advanced devotees the Lord reciprocates. But we, all of us, have experience that if we have sincere desire in serving the Lord in a bona fide way, then the Lord reciprocates. So it is mentioned, the question could be asked, when the Lord reciprocates? So we may pray. So we are praying every day probably in front of the Lord. We are praying. So the question could ask, when the Lord actually reciprocates to our prayer? The answer is, the Lord reciprocates always. If our prayer is sincere, the Lord reciprocates always. So it may not be, you know, we are asking for something, but it may not be that immediately that thing is going to happen. That's not necessarily, that is the reciprocation of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the reciprocation is, the Lord is telling, just wait for some time. Or you get over this situation, then I'll give you what you need. So the Lord is like a loving father. He understands very clearly what is going on. And according to what is necessary for our spiritual progress, the Lord awards. So the Lord definitely removes the distress of his devotees. Then the question could be asked that, how about our karma? Because apparently we are all going through different tribulations in our life, through different degrees at different point of time. So is the karma is acting upon us? Especially if you consider the prarabdha karma, which are destined for this lifetime. So all this karma, are they acting upon us, or Krishna is doing anything about it? So again, it comes to the same point. It depends on the surrender. So for a pure devotee, there is no karma at all. So even though there could be some apparent suffering for a pure devotee, it is not considered suffering at all. It is an arrangement of the Lord. And there is no real karma involved for a pure devotee. And how about us, a sadhaka bhakta? So we are performing the regulated devotion service. So we are performing sadhana. Then how about the reciprocation of the Lord? So it is mentioned, even for a sadhaka bhakta, if one is very sincere, then it is not just karma. So whatever is acting, it is not just karma. Rather, Krishna is using our karma for our own purification. So there is Krishna's hand. So karma is there. So he can add something, he can subtract something. It is up to him. Krishna thinks that, okay, he needs to get some more suffering. Then Krishna can give that. So if Krishna thinks that it's too much, okay, I have to remove something, then Krishna will remove. So that is up to Krishna. But in either case, the Lord is keen to protect our devotion. And he's trying his best to protect our devotion. Then, of course, we have our free will. And if all the opportunities are given, and Krishna is helping, he's telling, okay, don't do this, or you know, it's not good for you. Through devotees, even Paramatma within our mind, everything, you know, telling, okay, don't do this, it's not good for you. Everything is clear, but still, if we do something which is not really good for us, then yes, there is punishment. So again, Bhagavatam says that even if someone moves away from Krishna consciousness, still, it is not considered just karma. So what to speak about the devotees who are practicing. Even somebody who stopped practicing due to some reason, practiced sincerely for some time and now stopped practicing, even for such a person, it is mentioned that the tribulations and the distresses that they go through is not that of a karmi who has never served the Supreme Lord. It is considered just like punishment of the Supreme Lord. So it is said, if someone actually leaves the association of the Lord and or the devotees of the Lord and just do whatever they want, then the Lord is very merciful unto them. And what is the mercy? The mercy in the form of stick. So the Lord actually punishes. And you know, he can never enjoy the material world as he did before. So that is one important aspect of Krishna consciousness. If we taste actually Krishna consciousness, if we live in the temple or if we perform devotional service for some period of time and we actually enjoy devotional service for some time, then even if we go out and if we try to enjoy the material world, it's not really possible. The thoughts will come, oh, I had actually a good experience back in the Hare Krishna temple in Tank Street. So that thought will actually come into the mind and one cannot really enjoy the material world. This is one Gurukuli boy, you know, who was, you know, practicing full-fledged for many years, you know, practically, you know, through the teens. Then he left the association of the devotees and, you know, he went on with his, you know, material life, you can say. And still, one devotee met him and had a chat with him. He said, yeah, I'm doing everything now, you know, everything, meaning all the nonsense activities. I'm doing everything. But he said, the best time I had was when I was in Gurukul, when I was getting up for Mangalarati and when I was chanting 16 rounds. That was my best time in my life. So this is, Krishna is giving that taste. You know, it's mentioned, Rasagraho Janaha, the fifth chapter of first canto. Narada Muni tells this verse. That is, Vighadam Ichena Rasagraho Janaha. That is, one who has Rasagraha, one who has actually tasted that ras, that taste of Krishna consciousness, even to some degree, we are not pure devotees, but we have tasted to some degree. Since that taste is there, so even if one goes into material association, still one cannot actually relish the material association as much. One may continue for a long time, but there is always pulling of Krishna. I had a pastime of one devotee actually, who was a full-time devotee in a temple in India. And he actually wanted to do something quite against our regulative principles. So he had this desire. So he knew, when he's a devotee, he can't do it. You know, he's a devotee, you know, he can't do it. So he started praying to the Lord. Now I want to do some, you know, I want to do some non-Krishna conscious enjoyment. And I can't do it because, you know, I'm a devotee and I can't do it. Then one day he was cleaning the temple and he was on a scaffold or something and he was cleaning the fan. And due to some reason, the fan turned on and his head hit the fan and it was rotating and it hit his head. And he became unconscious and, you know, he fell down. And devotees took him to hospital and he got a bit cured, but he became mentally a bit affected with that shock. Then he left the temple because he became a bit crazy, a little bit. And he left the temple. And he engaged in all the nonsense activities that he wanted to. So he went on with the life for some time, a few years. And one day he was sitting on the bank of Krishna River. So when he was sitting on the bank of Krishna River, he saw one monkey jumping. You know, monkeys are jumping. This monkey jumped into the water and, you know, took shower and came and paid obeisances. So when he saw that, he actually got the memory back. He really clicked. No, I was a devotee. I was doing everything. You know, I was worshipping the Lord. I was doing everything. Then he understood, okay, I had to actually go back. Then he stopped all his nonsense and he got back to Krishna consciousness. So see, even though the Lord actually allowed him to enjoy in a nonsense way, still, he actually came back to Krishna consciousness. So this is mercy of the Lord. So Krishna is actually, even when someone worships the Lord sincerely, the Lord always remembers. He always remembers. So this is the quality of the Lord. We know the pastime of Ramanujacharya. When Ramanujacharya, he was a bit concerned because he thought, when I become old, or if your devotee, he was praying to, he was speaking to Ranganath, Lord Ranganath, and he was thinking, if your devotee becomes old, and at the time of death, they may not be able to remember you, because the mind is completely affected, the body is deteriorated, so what would happen to such a person? Is it your devotee, he worshipped you, but at the time of death, if he can't remember, then what's the destiny? So Lord Ranganath, he replied, they had intimate conversation. So Ranganath replied that my devotee may not remember due to physical circumstance, but still I remember my devotee. So this was the promise of the Supreme Lord. So this is applicable for a devotee who actually sincerely serves the Supreme Lord, when you talk about especially at the time of death. Even if there is some unfortunate circumstance, but the Lord can help. The Lord can force into one's consciousness. There are many pastimes like this. It's mentioned one time, one Sankirtan devotee from Europe, he was, you know, he doing nice service, but in his young age, he was afflicted with a terminal disease. What to do? And he was taken to Mayapur. And he was in his deathbed. And it was the final stage of his life. And it is mentioned, he was unconscious completely. Practically, no one can, he can't hear, there is no response, nothing. But at one point, before departure, he just called out Panchatattva. Oh, Panchatattva, like that. So this is the Lord is actually helping the devotee to remember him. So this is the loving reciprocation of the Supreme Lord. So the Lord always reciprocates. And It is our problem that we can't see the reciprocation of the Supreme Lord. When we pray to the Lord, we need to see that the Lord is reciprocating. So the more we advance, more we can see the reciprocation of the Supreme Lord. And that helps our devotion. When we see the exchange, then we are inclined to serve more, to have better consciousness. So that we can see as we try, we need to endeavor for that. Now, the next point here is, he was advised to proceed to Badrikashram. Why? Because he wanted to associate with the devotees of Naranarayan, and in that association to increase chanting, hearing, knowledge and detachment. So this is the very, very significant point of the association of the devotees. Because when we go away from the association of the devotees, even for any personal thing, or if you go to your hometown, if you go to India sometime visiting our family, or go to your own country for some reason, then we really understand how weak we are. Is it true? You leave the association and go to somewhere, spend some time, then we really understand how weak we are. One day it's okay. If you go anywhere, one day you may survive. 1 week may be okay. But as 1 week becomes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, then definitely the consciousness is affected. Here, then we really, if you reflect back, if we had that experience, then we really understand what is the power of association. What is the power of getting up for Mangalarati and worshipping the Lord in the association of the devotees. When we are in the association of the devotees, usually in a temple life, we get up in the morning, we attend Mangalarati, we chant, we have Bhagavatam, Guru Puja, we have Prasadam, we go. We think, I'm quite advanced. pretty okay, I'm getting up day after day, I'm doing everything. It's not so difficult. It's happening. The mind tells that, pretty good. But leave the association. Not I'm saying, leaving the devotees and going to Maya. Not in that sense. But even for some family reasons or, any other reasons, work reasons, go away from the association of the devotees and move away from this routine. Then we actually see who we are. Our real nature will come. So this is the power of Maya. So then we really appreciate the association of the devotees. I can see myself. If I stay even with my family for a month or two, then we can see consciousness is not exactly the same. It's affected because there is no strong sadhana, there is no strong association. We may think, the devotees are telling me to do this or that. Oh no, it's not really good, I had to do this, I had to do the other thing. But the reality is that is helping us to focus on Krishna and to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, there is no hope. So that is the importance of association of the devotees. And here, a very key point is mentioned, that he could increase his eagerness for chanting, hearing, knowledge and detachment. So our Krishna consciousness is meant to increase our eagerness. Okay, this word eagerness is very important thing. Because now, chanting or hearing, it may happen out of, kind of duty. There may not be any eagerness for that. But the purpose of Krishna consciousness and this association is that we can have some eagerness to do that. Okay, we feel like, okay, I want to chant. It's not that I have done my chanting. We get relief, I have done my chanting. Not that kind of eagerness. You understand that, no? I have done my chanting, now I am free. So there is an amount of satisfaction there, very good. But eagerness for chanting means, no, I can chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It is just 16 rounds, if I have time, I can chant more. That is called eagerness. So if we develop that eagerness, then we can see, we are making some progress. So hearing, chanting, hearing especially, we hear, I have heard this so many times, it's just boring. This is how the mind works. So things can become mechanical. And knowledge and detachment. Because knowledge and detachment are byproducts of bhakti. So as one develops hearing and chanting, definitely one has knowledge, both bhakti knowledge and jnana also to some degree, and detachment. One is not so attracted to the material world and the material things and the material objects. So we develop that very naturally in Krishna consciousness. So that is through the association of the devotees. So we need to be very thankful of the association of the devotees. We need to be grateful for the association of the devotees. And we need to very clearly understand that our advancement is dependent on our association. So if we see devotees who are more serious in Krishna consciousness, it is well and good. We need to open our eyes and see how other devotees are performing devotional service. So when we see somebody setting a higher standard, then that inspires us to follow something better. And in that way we can make progress. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Thank you, it's so nice. Reaches far, right? Reaches far, yeah.
So Krishna consciousness is not so close. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's a nice point. Yes, Madhuri.
Just in a nutshell, what was the instruction that Uddhava had to give to the devotees of Padma Kashyap? Just like he gave the instruction to the devotees.
Yeah, you mean the instruction that Uddhava had to give to in the Vajrakashram? In essence, it is mentioned, in essence, Krishna explained all the yoga systems, that is karma, jnana, ashtanga and bhakti, and then established the superiority of bhakti. So, and there is instructions of deity worship and the whole thing. So, that is Uddhava Gita primarily explains all the yoga systems and establishes bhakti as a supreme. So, this is what is mentioned as the key teaching of Krishna to Uddhava. In essence, yes.
So basically it's the same for Bhagavad Gita's work too.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it's the same as Bhagavad Gita. And in some one sense more elaborate, in the sense quite a few things are elaborated a bit more than Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Gets into a bit more details. Yeah. Any final questions? Yes, Lovely. Actually, being one-pointed and resolute in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, determined in Krishna consciousness, is fundamentally based on one's faith. That is the underlying principle that gives determination. So, I'm just telling the step below, just the step below determination or being very one-pointed in Krishna consciousness. The step below that is having the faith. That is the essential principle. Now, the question could be asked, how one can have faith, so much of faith, that if one has the faith, then one can be one-pointed. Can we understand the relation between these two? Or the determined? How can one be determined? Because one can be determined because there is faith. Strong faith is there, then one can be determined. Because one knows, okay, Krishna is going to protect. This is the path to go. I will go, whatever it is. So faith is the step below determination and, you know, one-pointedness. So naturally, question comes, how can one have faith, so much of faith? So here, two things are important. To have such faith, one need association of devotees who have a lot of faith. So for example, from a scriptural point of view, scripture is giving so many examples. We discussed so many devotees who had enormous faith, unflinching faith unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That is scriptural examples. Then we need to see the devotees who have such faith in the Lord in daily life. In our own, you know, our own scene, we have to see devotees who have such faith. So when we see that, then we are actually motivated. It is very important in Krishna consciousness that Krishna consciousness movement is full of examples. This movement is full of examples of devotees having different levels of faith and different levels of surrender. So if we try to see that, we can see, okay, who is just above me? We can see who have deep faith, but we can also see a person who is just above me. Just for example, if somebody is in grade 2, can see, okay, my just senior is grade 3. We can see the people who is in grade 10, of course. But he can see, okay, grade 3. In the same way, we can see, okay, if he is demonstrating this much of faith, then, okay, I can also do the same thing. So we can actually take a step forward in that way. So this is the process of gradual increasing our gradual step towards having more and more faith. And this faith actually helps to have one-pointedness in Krishna consciousness. And second is, this is actually coupled with conscious endeavor. Because we need to notice Shastra while applying this principle, and one need to be quite, have to take some steps towards that. So Krishna consciousness, it's not just automatic, you know, we need to consciously do things. So we depend on mercy of the Lord, not just like that, but with the endeavor. So here, the endeavor towards that is also important. This is my kind of understanding. If anyone wants to add, can, please. Thank you, it's a nice point.
So you said this to everyone, we have to see like what would evolve us.
Yeah.
But sometimes some people are just so fanatic, they think they're almost in the top level.
Yeah.
So nobody's there to like, you know, associate with
yeah.
Like there's nobody there to instruct them, they think like they're already almost.
Yeah. Which level we are in?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the, if you ask, this is the quality of a Madhyama Bhakta. A Madhyama Bhakta need to know where we are at. So, this is based on understanding of Shastra and applying that Shastra in our own situation. I'll explain a little bit further, meaning that Bhagavad Gita gives the qualities of a devotee. What a devotee is. Bhagavatam also gives many qualities and understanding what a devotee should be. So if we take that principle and if we look our own mind, Mataji very nicely pointed out that, you know, being introspective, that we are looking into our own heart. Okay, in this situation, how am I actually acting? That gives a very, very good understanding about our own position. Does that make sense? That actually gives a quite clear understanding. We don't need to really ask another 10 people, you know, how advanced I am or how fallen I am. Really speaking, we understand the Shastra, you know, this is okay, devotees, these are the devotees should act in this way, these are the qualities of the devotees. And how my mind is working, it's shocking. And I feel for myself. This is what is the actual behavior, and this should be the mind, ideally, but it is not exactly, it is opposite. Then I understand, okay, this is okay, pretty. There is work need to be done. And we can see in other devotees also good qualities. So that really helps. It's very difficult, actually speaking. We have this tendency that, okay, I have this tendency that, you know, yeah, you know, I know this, or I'm doing pretty well, or, you know, I don't have much problems. These kind of things, it comes to the mind. Then we need to understand, actually we have problem. When we understand we don't have any problem, then we understand, okay, we have the problem. Then it's a good opportunity to look into ourselves. Okay, 2 points. Point number one, when at the time of initiation, the spiritual master absorbs the karma or takes the karma and passes it through. Okay, in that process, we need to understand that the spiritual master is not taking all the karmas, meaning our body is also karma. Our body is also karma. So prarabdha karma is not taking, you know, if you see the, you know, especially the body, considered one main prarabdha karma is our body. If he's, spiritual master is taking all the karma, means we don't have any body now. So either, you know, if you take, so that is not the case. So yes, spiritual master takes away the karma. That is true. But the spiritual master doesn't take away our mentality as such. You know, our consciousness is our consciousness. So one can create so much karma with our wrong mentality. So getting initiated is one thing, and initiation is an opportunity to perform devotional service. So with the right mentality, if we engage in devotional service, then we make progress. So it is not that after initiation, all the prarabdha karma is gone. Now, you know, I will not get old. I will not get disease, because these are all prarabdha karma, which are, you know, entitled for this body. But rather, Krishna has his hand, as I mentioned earlier, for such a devotee. Even though the karma is there, karma, he uses the karma to purify. If one actually sincerely surrenders unto the feet of a spiritual master, and if he performs devotional service, then yes, karma is gone in that sense, and whatever is happening is not karma, but it is the karma given by Krishna for our purification. So it is not just like the action and reaction for any other person. That is, you know, it is destined, it is going to karma, it is just going to come. But here the Krishna's hand is there. So that is the difference. So it, of course, yeah.
Whenever we don't act according to Krishna's will, we create reactions, because Krishna knows what's best for us. And if he tells us don't put a hand in the fire, of course we are going to get burned, but it's not Krishna's fault, it's us. So as long as we don't surrender to Krishna and act in every day what Krishna wants from us, then we get karma. That's why we have, we don't have, if you're not pure devotee means no karma. Because they're fully surrendered to Krishna. And if you're not pure devotees, then you are mixed devotees. Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, that's why there is a division. Only pure devotees that don't get karma, because they do only what Krishna wants.
Is that clear? Okay.
So if you are in one class, the spiritual master only takes a prarabdha karma, and some of the prarabdha.
Yeah.
But there is still.
Yeah, that's right. That is the mentality. Good and bija is there, that's the mentality. Yeah. And some prarabdha is there, that is this body. Okay, final question. Yeah.
Just on the point before, how do we know what level we're at? Yeah. We know what level we're at by how much time we spend thinking only of Krishna and how much time we think about ourselves, our own advancement. If we're not very advanced, if we're not thinking about our own advancement, if we're only thinking about Krishna, we're very advanced.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.